keep your hymnals and turn with me to the back to page 33 to Lord's Day 26. Lord's Day 26, and we'll read the three questions and answers of this Lord's Day responsively, and then we're going to turn in our Bibles to Titus chapter 3, and we'll be reading there verses 3 through 8. Titus chapter 3, you'll find it on page 1182 in the Pew Bibles. As a congregation, we've been making our way through the catechism, and when we came to these Lord's Days dealing with the baptism section, I mentioned that we'll skip over it and we'll leave it for occasions when we have baptism. So tonight, one of those occasions, we come and we'll look at what it is that the Lord reminds us and assures us of in baptism. Beloved people of the Lord Jesus Christ, how does baptism remind you and assure you, and the you there is personal, it's small, it's not you plural, it's you as an individual, personally. How does it remind you and assure you that Christ's one sacrifice on the cross is for you personally? Christ instituted this outward washing, and with it gave the promise.
As surely as water washes away the dirt from the body, so certainly this blood and this spirit wash away my soul's impurity. In other words, all my sins.
What does it mean to be washed with Christ's blood and spirit? To be washed with Christ's blood means then on the next page, we have this question, where does Christ promise that we are washed with his blood and spirit as surely as we are washed with the water of baptism? In the institution where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, Now that reference there to the washing of regeneration takes us to Titus 3. And so we're going to read that section and see where Paul refers to the washing of regeneration or the washing of rebirth. Beginning in verse 3, at one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This for the reading of God's word. The Catechism begins its explanation of baptism by reminding us that baptism directs us to the cross of Christ. That baptism points us to see that the work of Jesus Christ on the cross is truly the only hope we have. The hope is not in the water of baptism. Baptism itself says, don't look to me, look to Christ. Baptism points us to the blood and the Holy Spirit that washes away all of our sins that we receive through Christ. Now, it's fascinating that the Catechism begins there. It's fascinating because it doesn't begin with an abstract view. It begins with a very personal question. How can I be sure that I'm saved by the Lord Jesus Christ? It begins with a question of a very personal struggle to embrace the gospel and to live in the reality of the gospel. And that's the question that lives so often in our hearts, isn't it? It's so often the question we have. Am I truly saved? How can I know? And the reason we doubt is because of the lingering of sin and the guilt of sin that's still present. You see, the baptism deals with a very personal, pastoral question of the certainty of our salvation. How can I know, truly know, that my sins are washed away? How can I know that? Be assured of that. Have confidence in that. Not merely that Jesus is a savior of sinners, but that he is my savior. That he is the one that has set me free from all of my sin. A baptism is a reminder, an assurance to us personally, that as certainly as we are washed with the waters of baptism, as certainly as we are baptized, so can we be certain that Jesus saves us, saves me. You see, it takes faith to believe the promise of the gospel. And baptism draws that faith into focus on Christ once again. Now, the problem with sin is twofold. The one is the guilt, the lingering guilt. And the other problem is the power of sin, the remaining indwelling sin with which we struggle. And the Catechism so beautifully focuses our attention on how Christ meets both these problems, the guilt of sin and the power of sin. The guilt of sin. Having broken God's law, when the Holy Spirit begins to work, He begins to convict that we have disobeyed and broken God's law and that we're guilty before God. We're in trouble. And when the Holy Spirit works, we begin to realize that nothing we do can get us out of that trouble. In actual fact, the harder we try through our own efforts to get out of trouble, the greater our guilt becomes. And that's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Even after we have trusted in Christ, we may still wrestle with lingering guilt in our lives. Now, the gospel is very clear that Christ dealt with our sin completely. That's the good news. The good news is there is nothing that you and I have to do to be right with God. Jesus did it all. That when He cried out from the cross, "It is finished," He is declaring that all has been paid in full. Sin has been dealt with. The condemnation and judgment of sin is past. And that's why the gospel promise of the New Testament is so clear, that Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He may bring us to God. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It's done. There's nothing left for you and me to do. Christ did it. He did it completely. He dealt with our sins fully, once for all. And when you trust in Christ, your sin is truly washed away forever. In Him, says Paul in Ephesians 1, verse 7, we have redemptions through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We have the forgiveness of sins. And that's why when Ananias baptized Paul, he says, "Be baptized and wash your sins away." He's not saying baptism washes the sins away. No, he is saying baptism points to Christ who did wash your sins away. It's the blood of Christ that deals with sin so completely. But you see, the problem is that even though that's the reality, in our hearts we often wrestle yet with the lingering effects of the guilt of sin. So the question is, how can I be assured that Christ has fully dealt with my sin? And baptism says, you know what? You're so unclean. You need to be washed. But not only do you need to be washed, the fact that you are sprinkled or dipped into the water points to the reality that by faith in Christ, you are truly washed with the blood of Christ and your sins are gone. Listen how the Catechism puts it there in answer 70. To be washed with Christ's blood means that God by grace has forgiven my sins because of Christ's blood poured out for me in the sacrifice on the cross. Baptism is an aid to help us to believe that our sins are truly gone through the Lord Jesus Christ. That when guilt comes in our hearts, when we begin to wrestle with our failure, baptism says, look to Christ and be reminded. Not be washed again. Not do it over again. That's why we don't keep on baptizing people every week. Okay, come back this week because of your sin. We don't do that. Why? Because of the forgiveness of Christ that is complete. But baptism is a continual reminder, a reminder every day that the blood of Christ truly washed our sins away. Now that's tremendous news for us, isn't it? It's tremendous news for us as Christians, because you know your life. You know the kind of words you spoke this past week. The words that were out of place. Or maybe it's words that you did not speak but should have spoken. Or maybe words is not your problem. Maybe it's thoughts. The kind of doubt that eats at your mind. The critical thoughts that continually flash in your head. The kind of judgmental thoughts whenever you see other people and you immediately criticize them and judge them because they don't do what you do. Or they don't act in the way in which you think they should. That's but a snippet. You know your sin better than I do. I know my sin. And the wonderful comfort is that Christ dealt with it all. And so you see, the Lord wants us to come and be reminded again and again that our only hope is in the blood of Christ. And that blood is more powerful than any of our sin. Do you believe that? That the blood of Christ is more powerful than your sin. Now that's tremendous hope for parents, isn't it? Because we maybe in parenting more than in any area in our life feel that we fall short and come up short and our sins are exposed in our relationship with our children. Maybe you do better than I do. But I can tell you my relationship with my children is the most challenging relationship I have. My sins are magnified in that relationship. And unfortunately, my children see that too. And so to be reminded in this occasion that in this gift that God gives us, in baptism, in which we bring our children to enter into this covenant relationship with God, we are reminded again and again that it's not our parenting, but it's the blood of Christ. And when we fail as parents, as we do, the cleansing comes not from trying harder, but it comes through the blood of Christ. Now, this is important for our children too, isn't it? Because a big part of parenting is correcting our children. And what happens when we correct them? We expose sin in their lives. And we hope they have a conscience that feels guilt because of that. And they do, don't they? And so what do our children need? They need the reminder, the constant reminder, that they do not atone for their sins by good behavior. They don't become better people by merely acting and doing what we want. No. They need their sins forgiven by the blood of Christ, and He alone washes the guilt of their sins away. Their failure as children, their sin and disobedience is only delivered, and they are delivered from it, by Christ and His blood. And that's a big part of our parenting, isn't it? To direct them to find their hope in Christ. Now, when we do that, there is also tremendous help. Because you see, our children don't have the power in themselves to change, just like we don't. Now, often we forget that as parents, don't we? We think that if we merely apply pressure strong enough, if we really demand a certain kind of behavior, then it will automatically happen, wouldn't it? It will just come about. Now, we have to do parenting, and we have to discipline and correct. But the power of change is not in our command or in our children's hearts. No, the power of change is the Holy Spirit alone. That's the Christian answer, isn't it? That none of us can change by our own behavior. No, we need the washing of regeneration. We need the very washing of rebirth that Paul talks about here in Titus. And the wonderful thing about baptism is it not merely points us to the blood of Christ, but it says we're also washed with the Spirit of Christ. That the power of indwelling sin that still remains is only broken by the Spirit's presence in the believer's life. And it's that presence that our children need to be reminded of, that the only way they can respond to us is by looking to God's Spirit for help. And in baptism, they are reminded that it is in Christ that they partake in the forgiveness of sins through His blood and the empowerment to live changed lives through the Spirit of Christ. Notice how the Catechism puts it here. That second paragraph of question 17, to be washed with Christ's Spirit means that the Holy Spirit has renewed me and set me apart as a member of Christ, so that more and more I become dead to sin and increasingly live a holy and blameless life. It's an incredible promise, because the struggle we have is that even though we trust in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, the moment you believe, your sins are forgiven. But when you wake up the next morning, you realize your sin is not gone. You still get impatient. You still get irritated. You still lash out with your tongue. You still think and daydream about stuff you shouldn't. Why is that? Because the power of sin remains. I was reflecting on that this week. I think God, in His wisdom, has left indwelling sin. Because if we were delivered instantaneously from the burden of sin, we would not appreciate the salvation that we have in Christ as much. You know how it is. When you get something cheap, or not cheap, but instantaneously, quickly, it doesn't mean that much to you. But when you wrestle and you work for something, you appreciate it a lot more. And I think God's purpose in the remaining of sin in our lives is to make us understand how precious our salvation in Christ is. And we're never for a moment in this life in a place where we do not need to again and again be reminded of what it is that we have in Christ. Now, baptism points us to the reality that we have been totally altered by our relationship with Christ. We have died with Him to sin. And the wonder of that death, Paul describes in Romans 6 so powerfully, when he reminds us that sin is no longer our master. We are no longer a slave to sin because we have a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have been raised with Christ. So sin, even though it remains, is no longer in control in the believer's life. The Spirit is. And Paul comes to that in Romans 8, where he powerfully underlines the presence of the Spirit in the believer's life. And how the Spirit empowers and strengthens us to put to death the sin that remains, to fight against it, not to be at peace with it. That's the reality of the believer. We fight against sin, but it's not a losing battle, because we have washed, have undergo the washing of regeneration. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence with us. And when we forget that, when we grow discouraged, when we feel, you know what, I will never change in this area in my life, I might as well just give up the fight. I might as well just surrender now and just give in. No. You are baptized. You are baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ. You are washed with His blood and with His Spirit. You have the power to keep on fighting, even though you may struggle with that sin for the rest of your life, even may if it lingers all of your life. You have the strength to keep on, because you have the Spirit of Christ. And you know how you can be sure? Because you've been baptized. Baptism is a reminder of that reality. So my brother and sister, next time you grow weary and weak in your fight against sin, the next time you're ready to throw in the towel, remember, you are baptized. Luther, in his struggle with sin, would often say to himself, but I've been baptized. He is reminding himself he don't belong to himself anymore. He now belongs to Christ. Let's do the same. Because in Christ, we have a Savior who saves us not merely from the guilt of sin, but also from the power of sin. And the day will come when we will taste the fruit of that victory in all of its fullness. when Christ comes, we will taste that victory and we will be set free from all the guilt and the burden of sin. But until that day, we fight. And we fight as those who have been baptized, marked, because we share in Christ and His victory. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank You for the grace that You give us in Your Son, Jesus Christ. That it is truly in Him that we have a Savior who saves us fully from our sin. Will You forgive us that at times in our struggle against indwelling sin, we grow tired and weary, and we're ready to surrender. We're ready to give up the fight. Will You, by Your Spirit's power, remind us that we are not alone, that we cannot fight against sin by our own strength, but we have been given Your power. You Yourself has come and take residence within us. And You remind us of that in our baptism. Help us to believe, to trust that You live in us. And may we help our children to believe that. That the power to change, the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in their lives. That they can believe that Jesus truly is a perfect Savior who empowers and strengthens. And when they fail, when we fail, and the evil one wants to stir up the guilt of our sin, wants to underline our misery and our brokenness, may You remind us of the blood of Christ that is perfect, that washes all of our sin away, and who provides us with perfect righteousness. O Lord, may we live in that reality. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.